Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We should speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every moment of every day. Generally, we do around the time of Gaura Purnima, following Srila Prabhupada's example of basing his talks mainly on Gita, Bhagavatam, philosophy. Where to start? Wherever we go, it's all sweet. Srila Prabhupada said, because he was asked about this when the Chaitanya Charitamrita was first published. First published was chapter 7 of Adi Lila, which establishes the importance of chanting the holy names for Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya's mission of giving prema via the chanting of the holy names, and is mostly dedicated to destruction, or showing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's defeat of Mayavad philosophy. So Srila Prabhupada translated this with elaborate purports first and published it as a separate booklet for distribution, particularly to Mayavadis. And then next came out Adi Lila Volume 2, as far as I remember. And then came 1, Adi Lila Volume 1. Volume 2, I believe, started with chapter 7 and went on for a few chapters. And there were 3 volumes in Adi Lila, and 9 in Madhya Lila, and how many? 5 in Anti Lila, like that. That's what, how it was produced in 17 volumes. So when it came out, our devotees asked, because right in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes that one should not jump up to the highest, the 10th canto immediately, but should go step by step, first canto, second canto, third canto, reading the Sanskrit, transliteration of Sanskrit, word by word meanings, the verse translation and the purports. So Srila Prabhupada had warned like that, don't go to the top first, start at the bottom. And of course in the Padma Purana, that system is there of seeing the first canto as the lotus feet of the Lord and gradually working up. The different cantos are compared to different parts of the Lord, and the 10th canto is the smiling face of the Lord. So go little by little, don't jump in at the top. So Srila Prabhupada was asked when Chaitanya Charitamrita was published that, well, do you have to start at the beginning like that and go through? Prabhupada said, you can start anywhere. It's all sweet. It's all nectar. Amrita, one meaning of amrita is nectar. Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, it's like sugar. Sugar block. You taste it anywhere and it tastes sweet. So you can taste it anywhere. Although actually, what happened when it was first published, devotees naturally began at the beginning and they were surprised. It was such most difficult philosophy in all of Prabhupada's books. That's at the beginning. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami put that there to show who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, not to take him lightly. At the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his Mangala Acharan, he gives clear understanding of what he intends to present in this with his Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Haladi. He starts off by saying that Radha and well, before that, there's the blessings conveyed by Rupa Goswami. May the Satyanandana remain in me, manifest in your heart. And then the philosophical understanding, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, of whom the undifferentiated light described in the Upanishads is simply his bodily luster, and the super soul in everyone's heart is his expansion. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And then why Krishna? So why? He already came just a short time ago. So why is he coming again? That question may be raised. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj, he answers that Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shakti Rasmat Ekatmanav Apibhuvipara Deha Bhedam Gatau Tau Chaitanya Kyam Prakatam Yadaduna Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupa. Radha and Krishna are one. The Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasar Thakur used to use the terms for Radha, predominated moiety. Moiety means something made of, something which is not divisible, but it's made up of two parts. So Radha is the predominated moiety. So it's one, but they're two, eternally for enjoying pastimes. But again, they've become one as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Krishna? But he is like Radha. They've again become one. Male form, but with the mood of the female Radha. And the mood and the bodily luster, they both come together. Krishna can't be Krishna and take the mood of Radha without the bodily luster. The two go together. It's too powerful. She overpowers him when they come together like that. And then you say, well, why? Why does he do that? Why does he do that? And then we find this right at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Radha. What is it? Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisham Veti Lobhad. Vana Yaiva. So, it's three reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is that Radha Bhava? What is the feelings? He wanted to understand it's Krishna wanted to understand the feelings of Radha for himself, which he can't do as long as he is himself. So he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, it's a very, very, it's so esoteric, it's beyond the Vedas. And if we say that and claim to be a Vedic Sampradaya, then Vedic Sampradayas will scorn us. If we say Vedatit, beyond the Vedas, they'll say, hey, you can't say that, that's bogus. Then you become bogus. There are so many who are against the Vedas. The Buddhists are against the Vedas. Charvaks are against the Vedas. Jains against the Vedas. There was one time the Shramans, one class, a major class of renunciants in India. Their whole thing is lost now, but they were against the Vedas. And of course, the left-wing tantrics, they're against the Vedas. So it becomes a very controversial statement. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he upheld the honor of the Gauriya Sampradaya by showing that it's in line with the Vedas, by presenting his commentary on Vedanta Sutras. Now, you may think, now we're going to hear so many pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now we came to Vedanta Sutras. But that is required also. Or if we get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, maybe not required, but if we think I'm getting the mercy, but we don't have that philosophical basis, then we end up as Aul, Baul, Karta, Bhaja, Nera, all these upper sampradayas. Or just the feelings for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without the proper understanding. In the 19th century was written a biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bengali by that, which was that? Tarun Kanti, which one was that? Shishir Kumar Ghosh was a friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. But he was a Bengali fish eater. But he wrote a long book. It's still published. Amiya Nimai Charit, the Nectarian Pastimes and Activities of Nimai. Bhaktisiddhanta, and it had a great effect on people in Bengal in reviving their interest and their natural love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur revived Krishna consciousness in the 19th century, and he was recognized at his own time as being the principal figure in doing so. He wasn't the only one. There were others active also. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't approve this Amiya Nimai Charit, because it's just pastimes without philosophy. And a lot of emphasis on Nimai Sannyas, a tragic event in the lives of the Navadvipa Vasis. We'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's one mention of Vishnu Priya. That's it. Lakshmi Priya some more, a little bit, but only one mention of Vishnu Priya. She is really the center, just like Radha in Vrindavan is the center of the worship of the Gauriyas. So in Navadvip, Vishnu Priya, even more than Gaura, is worshipped. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he didn't emphasize. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's Chaitanya Bhagavat really deals with Nimai of Nadia. And more is there, but that's why Krishna's Kaviraj was asked to compile Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was in Vrindavan, and the residents of Vrindavan asked him to compile the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means especially in Puri. They must have heard them here and there. Raghunath Das Goswami was there. He was the great storehouse of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was living there at the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in Puri. But most of the residents of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, they didn't know what was going on in detail. They saw Mahaprabhu during the daytime, they could see him, and he'd be somewhat normal. That's his external consciousness. But at night, he was alone with Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, and that's when, and some others, Govinda would have been a little at the side, he would never be far away. Govinda, his servant. And Govinda did his service. That's all. He didn't get involved. He took it as my business to serve. But he didn't get involved in the way that Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai did. And others, Shankara Pandit was called also to, at some point, to be there at night with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But really it was Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai who were privy to the intimate pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he fulfilled more and more his internal reasons for coming to this world. It may not have been wanted to be broadcast to everyone, because it's very painful. Would have been very hard for all the devotees to understand. But Raghunath Das heard everything from Swarup Damodar. And later he came after the passing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed away, most of his associates also, those who were with him in Puri, they also passed away, including Swarup Damodar. But Raghunath Das, he thought, I'll at least take darshan once of Vrindavan. Then I'll also go to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll commit suicide by jumping off Govardhan. Nowadays, even we're not allowed to go on Govardhan, but even if you jumped, it'd be hard to commit suicide. But somehow, there may be some point where it's not sloping and you could do. It's high enough also. Anyway, that was his idea, but Rupa and Sanatan, don't do that. You stay here and tell us about the pastimes of Chaitanya. We missed it all. We Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli. No one could understand why he came. He's a sadhu, and then why do you go into the political capital? You keep away from all those places. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself later said in relation to Prataparudra Maharaj that I'm not going to see any king. That's the worst thing. It's like drinking poison for a worse than drinking poison for a renunciant is to see a king. Then why did he go into the political capital, especially of Gaura? Why did he go there? Especially when it was a risky thing to do, the ruler being a Muslim tyrant, of course, he wasn't tyrannical so much in Bengal, but when he went to, because he had to rule the people, and he had, if you're going to have opulence, you just can't kill all the people. If the king's going to be opulent, he has to see that they're working, and then he takes taxes from them. Otherwise, if you just kill everyone, then you can't live very opulently. So it's in the king's interest to look after the interests of the citizens also. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there after taking sannyas, and no one could understand why he went there. It didn't seem to make any sense, either from material, political point of view or spiritual point of view, because sannyasis, they wander to holy places. But he went to get Rupa and Sanatan. That was his specific reason for going there. And he said, okay, now you leave, you come and join me. So they did, they came and joined him, and he said, okay, thank you very much, now go and live in Vrindavan and don't stay with me. He spent a little time with him in Puri, but he sent them, they couldn't see. most of his pastimes. So they asked Raghunath Das when he came, well, you were there, so you tell us. So those stories must have been in circulation from Raghunath Das. But even he may have been somewhat cautious in telling everyone about these most intimate feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also he may not want to, because some is very painful to hear. Krishna became imbued with the feelings of Radha in her feelings of separation from him. And it's, we don't hear the phrase viraha sukh, we hear the phrase viraha dukh, the suffering of separation. So how that suffering is sweet, not everyone can appreciate. So Raghunath Das may not have told everyone, but he told Krishnadas Kaviraj, who put that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we know about that. And from the very beginning he announces, this is what this is all about. But he also does gradually. But you can't be too gradual, because one thing, there could have been so many other pastimes which were put in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had to select which ones to put in, because he was afraid to make the book too big. Now when we look back, we think, oh, please, you should have made it bigger. But that's one consideration, is that, well, if it's too big, there may be various reasons. People may not be so much inclined to go through it, or they may miss the essence. Like that, there may be so many reasons. He also had limited time. He knew that because his body is infirm. So some of the pastimes he put, but really the specific reason for why he had to compile Chaitanya Charitamrita, that or the most the quintessential reason, that only gets discussed in some detail in the Antya Lila, and that too toward the end of Antya Lila. Although he does give hints of that in the beginning of Madhya Lila, because he thought that maybe I won't live, so at least I'll give some idea. And then again in the 13th chapter of Madhya Lila, in revealing the significance of Jagannath's Rath Yatra. But the pastime, the Antya Lila, it's not much actually. If we see, in terms of writing, the very specific reason to reveal the feelings of Radha that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has experienced, in terms of words, it's not so very much. Krishna, he also says that from every moment, every pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are hundreds and hundreds of streams. They could be appreciated in so many ways. And he says, I'm just catching one drop. There's an ocean of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I'm just catching one drop. And there must have been so many pastimes. They're not all there in Chaitanya Charita. We have the three authorized biographies in Bengali are the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we have in Sanskrit also the Chaitanya Charitamritam and the Chaitanya Chandradai, they're in Sanskrit. But whatever's in there is in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, mostly in the Bengali Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there are other works also, but they may not be very authorized. Some are specific. Govinda Das Karcha, the diary of Govinda Das, who was accompanying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to South India, shortly after it was published, toward the end of the 19th century, said to be an old manuscript that was found, was proved to be a complete forgery. And the person who wrote it said, I want to make some money. That was his motive. So he did. It sold very well until just shortly after it came out. There were so many discrepancies with the Jayananda's Chaitanya Mangal and there are other Vangshi Shikha. They're unauthorized books. Nityananda Vangsha Vistar, in which, anyway, there are so many. We bogus books. We need the acharyas to sort it all out for us. Otherwise, unless we understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the acharyas, we'll misunderstand. We have to understand from the beginning who he is, why he has come. It's not easy to understand. Last night, I was thinking to speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the public talk. I was just thinking, how difficult it is to present Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the public, even the pious public. There was a statement I heard many years ago of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj saying that Krishna Leela we might understand to some extent, but Gaur Leela is very, very difficult to understand. When I heard that, I was surprised when I first heard it. Because I thought, it must be round the other way, isn't it? Because Gaur Leela seems to be more human-like. We don't have demons with the massive body of a horse or a massive body of a bull. We don't have things like that in Chaitanya Leela. It seems to be more understandable. But then it makes it more non-understandable. Why has he come? Why does he take the mood of a devotee? Why does he experience such? Why does he put himself in such a situation where he experiences such agony? Well, this temple should be propagating that. This Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said that people in South India, they know Lakshmi Narayana, but they don't know Radha Krishna. They know Archan, but they don't know Sankirtan. So for these purposes, he wanted his preaching to go on in South India, that people should know who is Radha Krishna, what is Sankirtan. But Radha Krishna we have to understand through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a very great task. How to make people understand? It won't only be by trying to make them understand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled here in South India. We don't know if he came here specifically, but he visited so many holy places. Some of them are mentioned. And specifically mentioned in his tour of South India that there were so many philosophers who he met with, and he discussed their philosophy and defeated them. Mentioned Sri Vaishnavas, Tattvavadis, Tarkic, Nyayik, Charvak, Jain, Buddhists. They're all different kinds of philosophers. So it seems that even Then, of course, in North India, there was also the Vedic culture was going on much stronger than now. So there's so much philosophy there also, but it seems that especially in South India at that time. As now, of course, things have changed even in the short time that I've been in South India, you've been in South India, but it used to be that in South India there was a lot more interest in Shastra study among, you could say, people in general, and the Brahminical tradition was upheld more widely and specifically on Vedanta lines, because in North India the Brahminical culture, where it's going on, it's mostly for karma kanda without any Vedantic background. So we see that here in South India, Kanchi, they and Kanchi and Sringeri and the Madhvas at Udupi, they train young boys as brahmanas, and mostly for karma kanda, but they have a Vedantic background, which they also imbibe, but not so much. They also have in Varanasi, of course, and Rishikesh, they train boys in karma kanda, but they don't teach them so much any philosophy, or they're not even particularly connected to any Vedantic sampradaya, not as strongly as in South India. So it was very strong here, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had stated that he would defeat all their philosophies and bring them into his camp. So he would discuss with them. We have some discussions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, philosophical, in actually, not much detail. We have his discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then twice we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita his discussions with the Mayavadis of Varanasi. But it's only given slightly. Just a few key points are given. Later those points were revealed again by Govinda, the deity Govinda, and Baldev Vidyabhushan compiled his Govinda Bhasha. But he spoke philosophy to them, but his emotional effect was there also. The Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very much attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on seeing, you can imagine, to him, Sarvabhauma, elderly man, this young sannyasi, which is naturally had some paternal feelings of affection to him. So he felt affection toward him, which was bolstered by Mahaprabhu's very polite behavior toward him and deferential behavior toward him. I'm saying before they had the discussion. Similarly with the Mayavadis of Varanasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did something. He didn't that often do what we would call miracles, but he did in this case. First of all, they were very inimical to him. They're very, very offensive. They didn't like him at all. They were the highly respected sannyasis of Varanasi, the highly religious place, and they, in the religious hierarchy, they were at the top. A lot of karma kanda, Brahmins there, but they were the top for their austerity and their learning. And then all of a sudden this Chaitanya comes in, and everyone's attracted to him. And they wouldn't mind so much if he wasn't a Brahmin and a sannyasi. Because there may have been so many going in Varanasi in the streets, even now you'll probably see someone jumping and shouting and banging on some drums and singing something, and a bunch of people follow them. No one gives much importance. But they didn't like him. He was a sannyasi. Why are you going with all these low class? That's what, you're like I say, you have even now, you have some low class kind of people. They get some drum, they dress in some bright clothes, some green cloth if they're a fakir or something. And a lot of low class people follow them shouting something. But this is a sannyasi. The whole prestige and dignity of the sannyas order is compromised by this sannyasi. So they're very upset with him. And it wasn't only low-class people who were following. There were Brahmins also. And they'd heard that he changed the mind of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Maybe some of them had studied at some point under him, because he under Sarvabhauma, because he was known as the guru of sannyasis. He used to train them in Vedanta, young sannyasis. He would train them, even though he was a householder. So they're very upset and they're very offensive. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu behaved very humbly with them, which impressed them, because generally it wasn't expected that sannyasis would be humble. They were the cream of society and everyone had to defer to them. We see Shankaracharya in Varanasi, when he was there, came from bathing in the Ganga. And naturally, when a sannyasi goes, then everyone will get out of the way to give him a path to go. Everyone. And the chandalas who look after the dead bodies, they won't even come anywhere. They won't go to that part of that. Where the sannyasis bathe and where they burn the bodies, there are different ghats. But somehow there was a chandala right in the path of Shankara, and the chandala wouldn't move at all. And Shankara said, "Hey, what the hell are you doing?" And in more Sanskrit. So maybe you know the anecdote. He's saying, "Well, if you see everything as one, then everything is God, then I'm also God." So that was expected, that everyone would be very respectful to the sannyasis. And their behavior would generally be, or it would be seen by others from outside that culture as being arrogant. The British, when they came to India, the Europeans, they thought the Brahmanas are very arrogant people, because they expect everyone to get out of their way, and people offer them respects and they don't reciprocate. Very arrogant people, they thought. Of course, the British came in and just took over the country. That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? By force. If you didn't do what they said, then they'd kill you. So they were hypocritical in their own way. But the Mayavadis, the sannyasis, they were very respectful to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was so respectful to them. They became surprised that they were insulting him, and they thought he might insult them back or whatever. But no sannyasi would... Basic culture, the place where the feet are washed, is a dirty place. You don't sit in that place. So he was sitting there, and they thought, when he first sat there, they thought, "Oh, this guy's really weird. He's jumping and dancing in the streets, calling himself a sannyasi. And now he sits down in the place where you wash your feet." It's like passing stool, taking bath, and then putting stool again on your body. You again become contaminated. They said, "Why are you? What are you doing? What are you sitting there?" He said, I'm not. You're a high order sannyasi. I'm low order sannyasi. I'm not fit to sit with you." And they were surprised. Then he showed his Aishwarya Prakash, his bodily hue that's not generally shown, but he allowed them to see. He allowed them to see that. They were very much interested in Brahma Jyoti. So he let them see it's coming from his body. The Brahma Jyoti comes from the body of Narayana. And they like to think of themselves as Narayana. Danda grahena matrena naro Narayana bhavet. Their slogan. Simply by accepting a danda, sannyas danda, not this one, the eka danda of the Mayavadis. A man becomes Narayana. A man becomes God. That's what they thought. They thought, we're all Narayana, we're all Narayana. But then they saw, they can't produce this. They can't show the brightness from their body. He's showing. Looks like he's actually Narayana. So, to get them to even listen to him when they were so disrespectful, first of all, he was very humble, and then he showed some miracle. But then he discussed with them. Still, they weren't ready to accept his philosophy. Still, they challenged him. We can see you are as bright as Narayana himself, but then why do you chant in the streets and sing and dance with all these low-class people? It was a challenge. And his first answer was, well, my guru told me. That's it. That trumps everything. But the guru told me, but then on the basis of Shastra, we just say, my guru told me to kill 30 people every day. Well, that won't go. There has to be a Shastric basis. Don't look for a Shastric basis for such a thing. I just gave an example of something outlandish because it did seem to the Mayavadis that it was something very strange. Chanting the names of God, yeah, they know, they're very learned in Shastra, they know it's there, but they think that's okay for low class. If the low class people jump and sing in the street, that's okay for them, but not for you as a brahmana and a sannyasi. You're supposed to come above that level. That's what they think. So why are you singing in the streets with these low-class people? Guru ordered. Okay, but then you have to give some evidence. And he gave from Srimad Bhagavata. Of course, he may have given so many other... Well, he spoke various important statements. Kali Kali. Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, Nam Hoite Hoi, Sarva Jagat Nista. And quite likely, definitely nowadays, if you go to any Sampradayic Hindu, that means in any of the four Vaishnav Sampradayas, and the Mayavad Sampradaya also, if they're actually learning, everyone will agree. In Kali Yuga, you have to chant the holy names. Everyone knows, no one will deny it. But the Mayavadis thought that's for those on a lower platform. That's Shankara's teaching. Shankaracharya teaches like that. So they said, okay, all right, you've developed love of God. Very good, very nice. They didn't think it was... You developed love of Krishna, okay, good for you. But we're not interested in that. You know anything about Vedanta? They're interested in Vedanta. Yeah, I can tell, if you like, I can tell you a few things about Vedanta. Then he just totally cut their whole philosophy from the root. From the root means what? From hermeneutics that Shankara misinterpreted. It's a very bold thing to do, because they could have, if you go in any Mayavad ashram and tell them that Shankara misinterpreted, they'll be very, very angry. If someone comes here and tells us that Prabhupada misinterpreted this, we'll be very angry. But he told that that was his main platform of discussion. And then he went on to establish, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on to establish that Vedanta establishes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's there in the seventh chapter of Adi Lila. Then at the end of the Madhya Lila, we have also that he introduces them to Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's a very philosophical approach with them. But for most people, chanting Hare Krishna. For most people, he gave the process, chant. But someone has to read and study also. Because if you chant without proper understanding, then you'll have misunderstanding. And then so many misconceptions will come in. Who should the holy name be given to? To everyone. Isn't it? Holy name should be given to everyone. That's one consideration. Another consideration should be given to persons with faith. To give the holy name, you can just ask people to chant Hare Krishna. But then we have to teach them to chant inoffensively. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically said, Niraparadhe nam loile pai premadhan. The means to get Krishna prema that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute is by chanting the holy names. But it has to be offense-less chanting. And to understand what is offense-less chanting, one has to know what the offenses are. And to know what the offenses are, one has to understand the philosophy of the Vedas as revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the second offense. There, the idea of the Mayavadis, or that you chant any name of any god and it's all the same, that is refuted. So there may be many people who chant the names of Krishna, but they think you can chant Krishna, you can chant Kali, you can chant Sai Baba, or you just chant anything because it's just some effect on the brain. You chant anything, you just have to chant something over and over, and it's the hypnotic effect. There are some theories like that. But no, we have to chant the name of Krishna, understanding that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to take philosophy of Chaitanya Charitam as given in Bhagavatam and condensed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsha Britta Jare Joiche Nachai Tare Toiche Kare Nritta. Krishna is the only one supreme controller. All are his servants. As he makes us dance, that way we have to dance. So all this has to be understood. Srimad Bhagavatam was there before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, but it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who revealed what is Srimad Bhagavatam to its greatest extent. And that is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, more than the other biographies. It's universally accepted as the most important biography. The word is used biography. Yeah, you can say charita. It translates into English as biography. But it's so much more. So, we should all discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita all day, every day. Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karo Pan Jaha Hoite Premananda Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. Always drink the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita. By doing which one will experience the bliss of love of Krishna. Prema here, if not qualified, it means Krishna Vishayaka Prema. That's described at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prema means in relation to Krishna. Krishna Vishayaka Prema. Then Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. One will understand all these things properly. Otherwise, there may be many people with much feeling for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are actually offenders to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have the example of that in Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. His name is not given, a poet from Bengal who excitedly came to present his drama about Lord Chaitanya. But it was rejected because it has Mayavad misunderstandings. So the worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that is not in line with Bhakti Siddhanta, Shuddha Bhakti Siddhanta, not in line with the exact correct way of understanding given by Swarup Damodar Rupa Goswami, and again the path was made clear by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari, he who removed the darkness of the misunderstandings about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not in line with Rupa Goswami. So we have to get that right. Otherwise, we may have feeling for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it may not be pleasing to him. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he didn't accept this Amiya Nimai Charit, the biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which had really had a big effect on reviving people's feelings in the Bengali culture. Not that it was dead, but it was a big boost, you could say, to reviving the consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he rejected. It's just all sentiment without any proper philosophy. So we have to understand. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati made his commentary on that. And he noted that although Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's not so philosophical as Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's important statements, no doubt, for us to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it doesn't outline any philosophy in the way that Chaitanya Charitamrita does. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says that my tendency is to be philosophical is so prominent that even in commenting on Chaitanya Bhagavat, I've given so much philosophical insight. So that's required. We should try to understand. Srila Prabhupada speaking in Mayapur, 1975, saying that you've come to Mayapur. Now try to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada established that Mayapur, Chandradaya Mandir. He wanted people from all over the world to come and learn about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many, many people are coming now to Mayapur daily throughout the year. So many people come. Mostly they come, they see, they go back, they have a nice impression, they like to come again, but they really have to learn who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how to dedicate their life to him. And that effort is going on all over Bengal. Booked per capita, even considering that West Bengal is a highly populous state, is among the large states of India, must be the most popular density, population density. You can't compare to Delhi, but which is just one city, but it must have the highest. So what's the population of West Bengal? It must be 80 million, whatever. It's hard to say exactly. Huh? Crossed 100 million. So devotees are active, distributing books. But yeah, even though it's such a big population, I suspect that it's got also per capita the most book distribution, because they've been distributing so many books for so many years. And always Mayapur is on top. Mayapur means Namhatta, traveling parties, and they have so many Namhattas, hundreds all over Bengal. So that is there, the feeling for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now they're going and educating, giving the books. And they have Namhatta Melas, and they have these courses and everything. So educating people actually who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My own experience also in Bangladesh, when I first went there in 1979. So people knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was widespread feeling for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu among the Hindus, but so many misconceptions. So many misconceptions. Which are getting cleared away now by mass distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. ISKCON centers are there teaching proper philosophy. I was just there in Bangladesh recently, and I was very happy to see how so many devotees there are actually very serious to understand the philosophy. They're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and they're very serious to understand the philosophy therein. So we want to see that here. People don't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as they do in Bengal, but that may also be somewhat of an advantage, just like when Srila Prabhupada first went to the West. He could teach Krishna consciousness, and they didn't have any developed bogus ideas about Krishna, because they didn't know anything about Krishna. So Prabhupada said, Krishna's like this. Oh, okay, Krishna's like this. Nowadays, there's been time for the rot to set in. So there are so many bogus ideas floating around, which is inevitable. So at least here you can teach about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without so many bogus ideas. Of course, once you start to be successful, then all the bogus people will come running in behind to catch up. But that is why we're building the temple, actually. Why I said last night in the talk also that it's an educational center. Spiritual, educational, what's the term Prabhupada used? Spiritual, educational center, some other word he used. I can't remember. Anyway, he saw his temples as spiritual educational centers. That's what they're meant to be. People come, they like to see, they like prasadam. All right, now sit down, learn something, take some books, go away, come back, ask some questions. There should be courses going on. People can learn all this philosophy and get it right, because we want to spread so much. Who is Krishna? Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But we have to be very careful how we spread it also, because once people get the wrong idea, it's very hard to get them back on the right course. So we should be very careful from the beginning. And then also, of course, it's not just a matter of learning, writing an exam, passing a degree, but the attitude has to be there. Rupa Goswami, he codified, and later, of course, Jiva Goswami codified in much more detail, but especially the bhakti rasa. What is bhakti rasa? The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal. Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, gave an overview of that. But the whole entrance into that, he has given at the very beginning, summarizing statements of Bhagavatam, and Narada Pancharatra, and all the Shastras, the Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Jnanakam Adhyanavritam, Anukulena Krishnana, Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. Pure devotion is defined by and begins with the attitude of not desiring anything else but to serve Krishna. So that has to be there. It can be a fine line because we want to bring all kinds of people to Krishna. There are many pious people. Pious people means they're mostly rascals. In as much as they piously ask God, give me money, solve all my material problems. So there are out-and-out rascals, and there are pious rascals. Anyone who's not surrendered to Krishna is a rascal, says someone sitting here, not surrendered to Krishna. But anyway, rascal or not rascal, I have to speak what I heard from Srila Prabhupada. Now they're very interested in material benefits. So we have to bring them in and bring them up above that platform. If we say at the beginning, are you surrendered to Krishna? No? Okay, go. Then they won't come at all. So we have to offer it in a manner that appeals to their senses because they don't know anything beyond sensual enjoyment. So that's there. Dramas, dioramas, kirtans, nice kirtans. They become touched by Krishna's spiritual energy. Then they can start to see. They see it just like they, oh yes, very nice food. What are they taking? It's prasadam. But to them it seems like something, nice food, which it is. But at the same time it's Krishna's mercy. And as they go on taking it more and more, they can more and more appreciate how it's Krishna's mercy. So we know in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Nahaṁ prakāśa sarvasya yoga māyā samāvṛta mūḍho yaṁ nā bijānāti loko māma jamavyayam. People would see Krishna, they wouldn't see him. What does that mean? They would see him, but they wouldn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Duryodhana saw Krishna. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Pattagami Bhavatume. The devotees are praying to see Krishna. He may not show himself to them. Duryodhana saw Krishna. How did he see? But he saw, but he didn't see. Pashyanapina Pashyati. For one who has the vision, Vaikuntha Darshan, then he sees everything in relation to Krishna. For one who doesn't, for one who has Jagat Darshan, he sees that the whole world is meant for my enjoyment. And he sees in terms of friends and enemies. This person can provide me sense enjoyment, I like him. This person is an obstacle to my sense enjoyment, I don't like him. So they classify like that. That is materialistic consciousness. So Duryodhana saw Krishna as material. And you say, how could Duryodhana see Krishna? Krishna is fully spiritual. It's the same Krishna, but he didn't see him in the same way that Yudhishthira saw him. The same, if you do some brain scan, you might find the same impression on the retina and being adjusted inside the apparatus of the brain. But one can only see Krishna by the mercy of the devotees. His energy, that's also his devotee. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Asabhritya. So his energies, they allow people to see him or not to see him. They may see him, they may see him, but not see. They may see him and be completely in Maya. But still, some effect of the spiritual potency will be there. So anyone who sees Krishna, even inimically, is benefited. These are subtle points to be understood. Even the enemies of Krishna, with their wrong attitude, they're benefited by seeing Krishna, because Krishna is fully spiritual. And some thought of Krishna is going, even messed up, mixed up. But we shouldn't propagate in a messed up, mixed up way. We should propagate, here is Krishna. Here you can see Krishna. Come and see Krishna. How can we see Krishna? We have to see Krishna through darshan. People come for darshan. Darshan also means, is translated into English sometimes as philosophy. We can see by proper understanding. So Srila Prabhupada said when installing deities in Los Angeles, that if you think this is a brass made idol, this will remain for you a brass made idol forever. But if you see this is Krishna, Krishna has come. He wants me to serve him. Then this Krishna will speak with you. So it's the same Krishna, but he reveals himself to the devotees. To the non-devotees, he is a brass made idol. In their conception of reality, this is a brass made idol. If you tell, what is this? It's a brass made idol. So they're correct from the empiric point of view. But we have to rise above that and understand that. What can we understand? What can we understand? Achintya kalu ye bhava natangs tarkena yoji yad prakritebhyo parangyachita tad achintyasya lakshanam. We can begin to understand that which is non-understandable when we accept that I can't understand it. It's beyond my power to understand, and then by the mercy of Krishna, he will reveal himself to us. Atashri Krishna namadi nabhaved grahyam indra sivon mukhe hi jivada swayam eva spuratyata, by the service attitude. That's why some devotees, they may go through some studies, so many courses, pass exams, and they don't go anywhere spiritually. Whereas someone, he may not be learned at all, but he got the point. Once one learned man came to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati at Sri Chaitanya Math. He had some philosophical questions. He told him, you go and see the gardener, Ram Das, illiterate. Go and see him and he'll answer. Is that insulting? But he could answer everything, because of the service attitude. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita. At the request of Gaura Sundar, one of his disciples, who was serving him, and he'd never been to India, he was learning Bengali. He was very interested in this. This devotee's name was Gaura Sundar. So he and his wife, Govinda Dasi, were serving Srila Prabhupada, and they requested, because he would quote in his books and his lectures Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they had some kind of rough translation in English. They asked Srila Prabhupada to do it, which he did. He did in less than 2 years. And there was one scholar, his whole life, Ed Dimmock. He spent his whole life translating, and he didn't finish. And then later, and he didn't have extensive purpose, he just had a few footnotes. And then his disciple, of course they wouldn't call it like that, but a professor who he'd trained up, he finished it off after he died. And that's the one the scholars use when they want to quote Chaitanya Charitamrita, because written by a scholar. He said, this is Bhaktivedanta Swami's version. it's all devotional, so it's not scholarly. That's what Chaitanya Charitamrita is meant for. It's meant for devotion. That's the bona fide edition, not the scholar, so-called scholarly one. They can never understand Chaitanya Charitamrita because they think that he's something for them to understand. First of all, they have to understand from the very beginning. Shadaishvarya Purno Yayaha Bhagavan Sasvayamayam Na Chaitanyat Krishnaj Jagati Paratattam Paramyaha. There's no higher truth than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Krishna, the Supreme Lord, full of opulences. And the scholars will write, yes, and according to the Gauriyas, they believe, blah, 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 Chaitanya is Krishna, who they believe to be. They lost right from the very beginning. They missed the trail. Anyway, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they may get a PhD. Well, that's what they want. They won't get his mercy. Poor. I think they're the most unfortunate people in the whole universe. Those people, there's some attraction is there to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but at the same time, they won't surrender to him. And they're licking the honey bottle from the outside, committed. I'll never go inside. Well, sometimes they do. Anthropologists, they have this idea that you have to, if you really want to understand a people so that you can study them, you have to become part of them and live with them and talk their language. But they never really, they're always thinking, I'm going to go back and write my PhD. And then I'll become the expert on this sub-tribe of whatever it is, somewhere. They become the world expert on whatever it is. No one except other anthropologists are interested in anyway. So they're very, very unfortunate people. It's just like at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were, right in Navadvipa, there were scholars and philosophers. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to deliver them. But these people are more unfortunate because if you take sannyas, you see, he took sannyas just in their tradition. And they just can't get it. What can you do? I think they need prasadam. It's very, very unfortunate people. Very unfortunate. I read a book by one of these anthropologists. I think she was a Bengali and she went to Cambridge University to do her degree. She came back to Navadvip to study three kinds of Gauriyas. The ISKCON, the Goswamis who were giving initiation to caste Goswamis in Navadvip, and the Sahajiyas. Three groups. There are other groups. They didn't touch the Gauriya Math. They didn't touch the Nitai Gaurati Shampi. So they three groups. She went and lived with them for some time each. And then she wrote, one time I was in Cambridge. I woke up in the morning. It's beautiful morning. And I thought, oh, it's so beautiful. It's just the time then when Radha is rising. And so, oh, wait a minute. I shouldn't think like, she wrote, I shouldn't think like that. I have to remember I'm a scholar. So close. She missed it completely. Have to give them prasadam. Even then, it's like they got this big armor on. I will not become Krishna conscious under any circumstances. Whew. They might even join in the kirtan and dance. They'll never give up the consciousness. I am a scholar. I'm doing it to see how they feel. Hare Krishna. Okay, well, I said we'll finish that 10 minutes ago, so we'll finish. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for saving us from multifarious kinds of nonsense and giving us the real thing.